Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I have been studying something that I'm going to be visiting on the next few weeks and on Wednesday nights when I'm speaking, and then some of our other ministers will be talking on some of these topics. And I want to talk tonight about tests. Now, we're out of school, and some of you that have been in school, you're like, well, I got the summer off, no testing. No testing. But you know, in life, come on, church, we all have to face tests. There's just a day in and day out involvement in our life of tests. All through school, you had to have them. And just know that when you get out and go to the next season, you got them again. Now, they might not be in the same written form that you've had to take them, but tests do something for us. They prove what you know. And I have, in our curriculum at Christian Ministries Academy, we have what they call a self-test. And then we have a real test. And I have always tried to encourage our students, as our different leadership has, that the self-test, if you will treat it like the real test, then you will pass the real test. But if you don't treat the self-test like it's a real test, chances are you will duplicate exactly in the real test. Well, you say, what's the difference? Well, the self-test isn't per se graded. It isn't looked at to see what you know. Now, we'll go back and look at it if you fail the main test. But the self-test is an opportunity for you to recognize the areas that you need to work on and the areas that you have. And if you, in any way, shape, or form, look back and cheat on the self-test, then it won't reveal what you really do or don't know. And in life, as you study the Word, you have to understand there are times, and every one of us do it, as we're studying the Word, we just read right on past something. And we'll say, oh, I read my Word today. Have you ever done that? I know a lot of times if you're reading and you're very tired, you'll read through something. Now, I'm still an advocate of reading the Word, even if you're tired. No, I'm not saying don't do this. But have you ever done that and then you're like, I don't really remember anything I just read? I know we've all been guilty of that. And when you think that, you know what that is? That's the voice of the Lord saying, read it again. Because if you missed it, there's something in there that would have given you the ability to pass the real test. When they come up, there's something in there that you needed. So go back and read it again. A test is basically a method to determine a person's ability to complete certain tasks or to demonstrate mastery of a skill or a knowledge of content. Now, I have talked with a lot of people who are in the electrical field. I've talked to different plumbers, and they have certain tests that you have to take to prove your skill. Aren't you glad that doctors have a lot of tests? I'm thrilled. And that when you go to them, there's not a certificate on the wall that they accidentally got. They had to receive that before they had the knowledge to tell me something about me. And I'm appreciative of that. After you pass a test, it does something for you. It validates. It proves that a person has succeeded in an area that they were tested in. It validates, now you got to get this, or it proves. It validates and proves. Well, you say, all of that's good, and we know that, Pastor, and we have plenty of tests that we have taken, and I understand we're going to have plenty more. Well, I want you to know from the beginning in Deuteronomy that God's people have been tested. And the reason behind that is to validate them, to prove that they got it. And I am always amazed as I read the story of the Israelites, that the idea that God's people getting out of Israel and God's people coming and wanting to go to the promised land spent a lot of time in the wilderness circling a mountain and never walking into the promised land. And I did some study even further on that. And before I get there, let's just read about it. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you, testing you. You ever felt humbled? Is that ever fun? No, it's horrible. When you get humbled, yeah, it's not, oh, that felt so good. Nobody ever says that after being humbled. There's nothing that feels good about that. But it says right here that God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you. God will humble you. You get too big a head. I'm just saying, there's a humbling that took, humbling you and testing you for a reason. To do what? It says to prove your character. To prove your character and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. You got to know. If you don't know the commands, it's hard to obey them. Young people with kids know this. If your child doesn't know the commands, they cannot obey the commands. And for you to get on a child when they don't know, there's got to be a teaching that takes place first. And there are times that I watch Adeline and she'll start crying in service. And I know that there is a fighting with the teaching that we have here, not to go back here and whoop her. Because I've heard Josh joke about it. So you're getting ready to get a whooping. Now he's being funny, I pray. But as he's doing that, he's got to have the knowledge. And I'm not just teaching Josh. I want you to get the symbolicness of what I'm talking about. He's got to know that until she can obey, she's got to know what she is to obey. Right. No one should ever punish a child for something that they didn't give them the ability to know when they had failed. Now, I want you to understand this because it's very important that as we are signed up for Christianity, we got saved and we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we did that with the understanding that we would grow and disciple ourselves into a knowledge that's deeper so that we don't fall into something or go into something that corrections necessary or consequences happen. I mean, understand this, she doesn't know not to put her hand on the stove. Adeline don't have a clue about that. Do you know how many Christians don't know that there are certain things that they should not be doing or saying? And I see it all the time. You just said you were a Christian and you're going to that R-rated movie. Do you not know what's in there and what you're feeding your... They don't. They don't know any better. Somehow they weren't taught. That's why we go and we sit under the Word. That's why we study the Word. Because you have to know the commands and know this, that you will face tests that will tell you whether or not you're really able to obey them. There will be tests in your life, and it started from the very beginning. Deuteronomy, God allowed them, God placed them, you say whatever you want, but they were in a position that God placed them, he led them through the wilderness, and so that they would find out whether they would really obey. He wanted to know. God wants to know, are you really gonna obey what he has said? You can't obey if you don't know. Neither can a child. They can't obey if they don't know. They're going to mess up every time. And I have seen kids that are living life scared spitless because they don't really know what the boundaries are. They just get in trouble. You got to identify, you got to give a child some knowledge. God did that. God did that, and he has done that for you. The problem is you got Christian people walking around that have no knowledge of the Word. They got saved, and that was good. I got my ticket to heaven. That's good enough. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says that God did this to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Verse 3, Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. If you jump down to verse 16, he fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did it so you would never think that it was your own strength and energy that made you wealthy. And here's where I want to stop for a minute. For some reason, we get this arrogance, this pridefulness, the more we grow in the Lord. And we will get to the point where we think we've actually done something. The only reason why we're able to sit here today is because we have a great God. We have a great God. And he cares. The word wilderness, and I want to talk tonight about the wilderness test. I will get into more and more tests, but tonight the wilderness test. Be nice to her, Josh. The word wilderness is defined. The word wilderness is defined as a desert place, a place uncultivated or unlived in, a state of disorder. In our life, if we want to take this and symbolically turn it over to what we face, the wilderness is difficulties. Anybody ever face any difficulties? Pressures. Insufficient resources. Oh, man. Opposition. Come on, you have it. You have it. Every one of us do. I was looking into this, and I thought this was really profound, so I wanted to share it tonight. Between Egypt and the Promised Land, that's where they were headed, to the Promised Land. God said, this is where you're going. There was wilderness. Now, the direct route from Egypt to the Promised Land was the shortest route. Let me also tell you, it was the easiest route. It was the easiest route. The northern route, studying this and looking at it, near the Mediterranean Sea, was the route that you would take if you needed to eat off the land, have fresh water to drink. And I have wondered for years, why didn't they just take that? And as you read the word, you find out God didn't lead them the shortest route. He said, after you come out, here's what you're doing. The route that God led the Israelites to take was a right-hand turn and head south towards a dry mountainous region that supported very few inhabitants. That's where he led them. Headed towards the Promised Land, they turned right and headed down into a barren land. There wasn't much to eat. God had to provide food each morning for them to sustain them. There wasn't water, so God provided water as well. I can read all the stories, but you know them. What he was doing, he was teaching them to trust them in the wilderness times of life. And we all face those. And tonight is training ground before the test. So that when you are finding yourself in a place that you don't know how you got there, what to do, you got to know God has provisions for you when you don't. I wrote this down and this was good. So you can amen after I say it. I'm setting you up. God knew that if you wouldn't trust him in the wilderness, then you wouldn't trust him in the Promised Land. And I thought, there's some real profound wisdom right there that we miss. If you won't trust him in the wilderness times of life, then when you get to the Promised Land, it's just going to be a heyday and you'll forget him. And all through the Old Testament, you read, don't forget, remember, don't forget, remember. God is your sustainer. Well, did you get that? If you don't trust him in the wilderness, there's a real good possibility you won't trust him in the Promised Land. And I have watched people that continue to experience the wealth of this world tend to leave God out of it. Have you heard the phrase that there are no atheists in a foxhole or whatever, in war? There's no atheists. Why? Because they're like crying out to God. Now, I understand that philosophy. But do you realize that most atheists are wealthy? I was reading some surveys on that, and there's a whole bunch of them, so I didn't pick one of them because I'd be lying to you. All of them say something different. But most of them say that the people who deny God are people who don't need him in their own mind. Now, obviously, we do. But you got to understand that if you don't trust God in the wilderness, then when you get to the great things in God, you're not going to trust him for that. So you got to trust him with the difficulties in life. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people ask questions in church. Why? I have faced this in difficulties time and time again when people are faced with a struggle, a health struggle. And there's been plenty in this church, a health concern or risk or what's going on. And we've seen God miraculously here, heal countless times right here. Seen it happen time and time again. Now, and we'll continue to see that because that's the nature of our God. But I've watched in the crisis and I've been praying and I have faced the question many times. Why? Why? Why did this happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, obviously these are questions that we all have had. Why is this happening to me? Why? You ask why when great effort produces fair to poor results. I mean, you get in, you work really hard, and then you don't get the reward for your effort. Why? Why didn't I get that? You ask why when you expected success, but instead you got a delay. Why? When the wicked prosper and the righteous struggle. Why? Why? I mean, you get wondering why. And I want you to know that what you're questioning is why the test. Why the test? And I want to explain that tonight because if we can get a hold of the test that we have in life, we can not go to the why. We can see an outcome based instead of looking backwards, because why only looks backwards. Why looks backwards, but what is going to happen looks forward. And we've got to change our thinking, but the only way you do that is to explain it. People tend to deal with difficulties better sometimes if they can understand that what they're going through serves a purpose. Now, oftentimes we ask, why would God do this? And there are times I know that God has allowed things, but there are also times that a fallen world produced what was doing, and we're blaming God for something he had nothing to do with. See, and I want to make sure that I don't sit here and just get on one side of this. I understand there's a ditch on both sides. But knowing that trials of faith are not pointless, if you can understand and endure and bear the pain to see the outcome on the other side. See, Romans 8:28, one of my favorite scriptures. God causes everything to work for good. God causes everything to work for good for those that love him and are called. Well, here's what you can know. If you're loving him, there's a call on your life. If you're there is a purpose. If you're breathing right now, the only reason you're here is there's purpose in you. If you're breathing right now, there's purpose. I am always amazed at people who can't figure out a purpose. You're breathing, you got one. Now what it is, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's in you that's going to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. There's a lot in you that's going to be blessed. The other people receive blessings from God through what you have. And so to question that, if you were done, you would have been taken out of here the day you were saved. I got my fire insurance. I got my ticket to heaven. Well, then why aren't we just taken out? We're not taken out because there's still purpose for us here. There's purpose for us. There's purpose in every test. Well, Pastor, what's the purpose? It's to reveal what we understand. It's to reveal what we don't understand. That's what tests do. What do you understand? What do you not understand? And it reveals to us the applicability, the ability to take what you have learned and put it to use. After the test that you have in grade school on multiplication, if you pass that, then you will then be able to go to the next level in math. But I have countless times, and I don't know how, seen kids pass the multiplication test and then not know their multiplication. And they just think, well, I got by the test. Know this, the test is supposed to reveal what you don't know and reveal what you do know. That's what a test does. It reveals what you do know and what you don't. And if you leave with 20% of that not knowing, then that 20% will wreak havoc upon you at the next season. When you're tested in the kingdom of God, you have to know that you have to pay attention to what you didn't get. You have to pay attention because it will come up again. The reason why we're tested is to know that we have areas that now we can apply to the kingdom of God. But it also reveals areas that we need to work on. Are you getting this tonight? See, in the wilderness test, this is very important to get a hold of. Why the wilderness test? The Bible says humbling, to prove character, to teach you that you need more than bread, to disciple yourself for maturity and self-control, and to reveal to us that it was not our strength that got us here. It was a reliance on the Holy Spirit and the Lord himself. He is the one that we have to give credit to. Don't boast in anything you've done but in Jesus. The test occurs, and you got to get this out of it, that you're not going to forget God. You're not going to forget God. You got to learn to trust God. See, the faith in God will go stronger and stronger. And you have a platform from which you can minister to those around you once you have passed the test. Once you've passed it. If you've passed it and you're a doctor, you can then see people. If you have passed the test of the wilderness and difficulties in life, here's the cool thing. There will be others going through that same test. Guess what? You can help them to pass it. I know my multiplication tables. I would be a good resource if you don't. I have seen what it takes to get through a house that catches on fire and burns to the ground. Anybody that goes through that, I'm a good person to come talk to because I've been through that and came out the other side and watched God get the glory. Now, when it comes to certain areas that I haven't been tested in, then I'm not a good resource there. But know this, you're not everybody in the whole kingdom of God is tested in every area. But the areas that you are tested in, you're given that so you can pass that and then you can help somebody else go, boy, this is really good if you'll get a hold of what I'm talking about. God tests us day to day in life and understand that we live in a fallen world, so there's a lot of opportunities for tests. For Christian people, there's a lot of opportunities. And he does a lot of things as he tests us. He supplies our need in a manner oftentimes that we're not even familiar. I've got so many stories that came to mind as I was going through this, and I didn't even write them. This is the shortest written part I've ever got because I just got so many stories. And you know, the older you get, you got them. Story after story after story. And I'm just amazed as I look back how God has seen me through time and time again. The start of the church, God, I don't have an income. What am I to do? Well, keep working and doing what you're doing. And I did for a year and 3 or 4 months. And then funds were kind of drying up from that. And I was seeing God move me into this. But with 20 or 30 people trying to support an income, you can't. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go do this. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I'm just trying to take a step out in faith. And oh, you ever taken a step out in faith and you knew God said to do it? And you're like, but I don't have the resources. But you know that you know that you know God said. There's a balancing act. And you're all the time going, okay, God, resources, God. Okay, I'm just going to look to God because I don't know what else to do. And that's what I did. And I'm telling you, for a month, we didn't have an income and we were planning on living off of what we had in reserve. And I knew that there was a season for that. And okay, we'll be okay for a season. But then after that season, what am I going to do? And I remember Michelle and I praying and believing God for, I don't know what we're going to do. And that year, there was a mistake by the IRS on our taxes. I know. And I didn't contact them. I didn't have anybody look it up. They just sent us a check in the mail. And I thought, God, you can take the IRS and make them bless me. Now that's big. That's big. I had some friends that were prayer warriors, and I hadn't even told them what we were praying about. And they just said, and I just saw one of them this last weekend. And I'm just always amazed at how he just was praying. He and his wife were praying. And God said, you need to send the Ellisons some money. Well, I'm not one to go out and say, hey, I'm in need here, everybody. Send me some money. If you know anything about me, that'd be really difficult for me to go. But it's not too big for God to say, hey, can you send some money over here? And since that, Michelle and I have done that for people that we have felt as we've, I just feel like we need to, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit does that. But he did that with people for us. And I remember looking back, and then after we finally got through that wilderness time, I looked back and I saw how God sent manna. God sent water. God fed us in ways that weren't physical food, but through some money and situations, God took care of it. What I'm here to tell you is the wilderness time, once you're through that, you'll have passed that test and you'll look back and go, wow, wow. And then what it does for you when you're walking in some prosperity, when you're walking in a little bit of excitement and thrill, and you're walking in some wealth, all of a sudden God starts being able to speak to you there. Why? Because you allowed him to speak to you during the wilderness time. That's the test. That's the test. God is more interested in our character than he is our comfort. And I think we miss that a lot of times. Man cannot see his weaknesses until circumstances reveal it. And test will reveal your weakness. Impatience is revealed when something hinders our progress. Come on. Anybody? I'm not raising any hands tonight because mine would have to be the first one. Impatient. I have seen character revealed in line at Walmart time and time again. Impatience. Something hindering your progress. Can they not hire another stinking cash register attendant? They got plenty of cash registers. Why don't you use them? Pride is revealed when we are forced to do something that seems insignificant or that we don't enjoy. Pride's revealed. See, many things can be revealed in your testing time. A lack of faith is revealed when we're required to do more than we think we're able. We've just talked about that. Idolatry is revealed when we're required to sacrifice those things that really matter to us. Oh, I can't give that up. Immaturity is revealed when we can't have our way. And we see that in young people, but I see it in old people all the time. Immaturity. Self-will is revealed when we're required to do something against personal ambition. I mean, you just go on and on. Self-centeredness is revealed when we're forced to serve others. Really, I have to serve somebody? That's kind of part of the Christianity walk. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. What's your heart looking like? The test will reveal that. Testing, know this tonight, it's inevitable, it's continual, it's necessary, it's influential, it's productive, and it's used by God in a profound way. So don't get frustrated. Just quit asking why and say, okay, what and how? This is, I'm looking forward to what God has as he shows himself real in this. There are dangers in the testing. Because see, if you're not careful in the testing and you don't allow it to point you to God, then you'll just get frustrated and fail it. And then, guess what? You got to take it again. There's one math test in our curriculum that has been taken more than any other test in our whole school. Now, they finally tried to revamp it a little bit. Now there's three of them that they're going to be dealing with because they spread it out. But here's the thing. There is test in life, and I have said this to our students a million times, but maybe we as adults need to hear it tonight. When you fail the test, it's not over. You're just going to take it again. So the difficulties in the testing is tough. And you can get delusion. You can get distraught. You can get distracted. You can get angry, and I've seen it. You can get bitter, and you can get hardened. But my encouragement is don't let that have the victory, because if you do, before long, I see it pull you out of all the things of God. I was real encouraged, and once again, these are not all my stories, but I watched the Wards go through one of the biggest tests and wilderness times that I've ever seen in anyone's life. And I the first time I walked in, there was no one there, and Jeff was asleep, and I saw his leg laying there, and I stood at the door, and I remember just crying. And I've never told him that, but I just hurt for him so bad to face what he was having to face and what his family and what his wife and what his mom and dad were having to go through. And I remember just saying, God, I want to ask you why right now, but here's what I do know. You have a great, abundant, blessed life for this man. And I pray right now that he just turn to you and seek you through this. And I'm telling you that there'll be a day and time that hundreds, if not thousands, will be blessed because of Jeff Ward. I watched that. And you know, there wasn't a time that I walked into his room that I didn't hear worship music being played, that I didn't see in them have a great attitude, embracing God and the things of God. And I'm watching him on the backside be an encouragement to so many. He's not letting anything like that stop him. The things of this world are just things of this world. And the things of God are what matters. And a ministry birthed in his heart through all of this. And I'm still watching that. And I'm going to watch all that unfold. And the devil ain't got nothing on Jeff Ward. And you know why? Because the wilderness test, he passed. He passed. He went through this thing. Now I'm watching God just move miraculously on his behalf. You know, I got to move along. But many things can be revealed. Dangers, testing. I read a statement that I thought was pretty interesting. Only two men were promoted to become a king without the struggle of the wilderness test. You know who those two kings were? King Saul and King Solomon. They're the only ones that didn't have to go through a wilderness test to get their kingship. King Saul, what do you know about him? Consumed by jealousy. Dangers of the test, or of the lack of taking one. King Solomon, consumed by his own passions. The testing, church, is universal. But how we respond to it will determine and show the world who we really are. And I just want you to know that. Mark 1, verse 12, something I was reading and I just thought this has got to be shared this evening, says that Jesus faced a wilderness test. And you can read all about that in different gospels. But Mark 1, 12 is the one I want to bring out tonight, because Mark 1 says that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Drove Jesus in. Looking up that word in the Greek, the translation is not that he was led, he was drove in. He was compelled in, some translations say. Some say he was brought in. Some say he was carried in. Some say he was set in. But depending on how you translate it, it's all not being led in. He was drove into the wilderness. Jesus himself, Mark was saying, the Holy Spirit didn't lead Jesus into the wilderness. He didn't say, hey, come follow me. He didn't suggest to Jesus, hey, just go into the wilderness. You know, it might be a good idea if you went in the wilderness and work through ahead of time all the temptations that every one of us are facing and pass them for us. Come on, he didn't say, he drove him in. Mark said the Spirit drove him into the wilderness for testing. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but I was thinking about that. No one volunteers to go into the wilderness test. No one volunteers. Hey, I'm take me, I'm all about, just strike me. No, nobody says that. Nobody's gonna say, that doesn't make any sense. No one volunteers to go into a wilderness test. But know this, it's necessary. You aren't ready for the spiritual trials that come with success until you've successfully navigated the spiritual trials of the wilderness test. And I want to encourage you tonight, there are blessings upon the passing. many ways we can receive through the test. See, when you're in the wilderness test, you have the opportunity to see God do something supernatural. And I've watched it, and I've seen it, and I've been a part of it. And it's phenomenal. I know that during the test, and oftentimes the supernatural will show up in a way you didn't think it was going to. I was expecting it to be done like this, and then he does, you have this A, B, and C, and then he chooses X. I mean, really, you have all these thoughts of how God's going to do it, and then you're like, huh, I didn't think of that one. Obviously not. That's why we depend upon him. See, with the blessings of the wilderness test, a lot of things received there. We receive assurance of the care of God. We receive assurance of the power of God. We receive assurance of the faithfulness of God. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds start getting renewed. We start thinking different. See, maturity in Christ will come when you've passed these tests. You start getting more mature. You develop the ability to endure. One more story. You're tired of my stories. My grandfather, one of the most spiritually profound men I have ever known. And most of you here knew him. And I was always amazed at the books that he would read. And for years, reading the Bible through every year and doing a different translation every year because he wanted to know what every one of them said. And he just spent hours reading. And then the older he got, he'd spend hours reading and then at the same time sleeping. He'd read and then sleep and read and sleep. But I watched a lot of seasons of my grandfather's life. I remember a time when a show came out called MacGyver. I don't know if you remember that show. And I remember actually watching it. And here's the one thing that I was never wowed by. I wasn't wowed by him because he didn't know my grandfather. Everything this guy made, my grandfather would, I mean, I had things in my mind that he'd made that grandpa could make tools to fix things. I mean, making tools. And how did you do that? Well, you just did this, this, and this, and no big deal. And I was always amazed by that. But here's what I did. I watched my grandfather have a lot of excitement for some things in this world. And one of them was his garden. Another was his family. Another was cards, just playing cards. And I watched the seasons of his life change what he was able to do. Test. See, he got to where he couldn't take care of a garden. Now he'd talk about it. He'd visit about it. He'd talk about past gardens and things that worked really well. And I walked by a stand at Orchlands the other day and I saw the Farmer's Almanac. And I thought, I bought one of those for him several years and everybody else did. And we always wanted Grandpa to have the Farmer's Almanac. There won't be a Valentine's Day that ever goes by that I don't think about planting lettuce. I've never planted lettuce, but I'll think about it every time. I just watched what he was able to do change. And just know this, if you live long enough, what you're able to do will change. And as those things change, there's a test going on there. But I watched him pass every test and come out with the biggest smile. So he couldn't go anywhere without oxygen. He would try sometimes and he realized. But we'd make sure he had it. He made sure he had it at times. And the thing about Grandpa is he didn't let that stop him. There wasn't a Wednesday or Sunday that didn't come that he wasn't going to church. Even if he was just getting out of the hospital, he's going to church. Why? Because he had in him a desire that the things of God were more important than his physical things. I'm more interested in the things of God than I am what's going on with my body. And I watched that example for years. And I watched him go through one wilderness test after another wilderness test. I'd watch his health decline and I'd watch God just bring it back up. I'd watch it decline. I'd watch God just bring it back up. I've never seen anybody up and down, up and down. Watched him die and back up. Ha! Whoa! I mean, time and time again, I've watched up and but I watched a test, and I watched the other side of the test, and I watched a smile just as genuine, just as big, and just as real after every test. Now, how did that happen? It's not because my grandfather was so strong. It was because God's strong, and he knew that. And I have watched it in several of you here. And what I want to encourage you tonight, whatever your test is, know this. God wants you to pass, and he's rooting you on. And he's given you his word where you can. You just got to get a part of it, get a hold of it, and know that there will be a blessing on the other side. And now I've watched my grandfather experience the ultimate blessing, and he's getting to walk without oxygen. He's getting to visit, sing. He's getting to do everything that the test may have said, oh, I don't know about that, but he's on the other side of it now. And I, through faith, I can see what's going on. And all I want you to know is if you get a hold of the idea that you can pass the test and be willing to pass it when you face the wilderness, James 1 verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, can just consider it an opportunity for great joy. Boy, the Bible is just so clear. James 1, 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Doesn't mean it will, but it has a chance to, if you'll allow it to. And then verse 4 says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete and need nothing. Praise God that we're allowed to pass the test. You're not defeated, you're victorious. And tonight, whatever your test is, come on guys, you've been in this one long enough. Let's let God get the glory here. Let's not live in this any longer. Let's get through this thing. Well, Pastor, I'm doing everything I can. Then endure right now. Endure because it's going to produce for you. It's going to produce for you. You're going to come out the other side of this and you're going to be a blessing to so many. I love the word and what it does for us. And I love the stories of the word. And I love the stories that are now a symbolic representation of the word in the lives of God's people. Take the test that you've passed and be a blessing to others. Let's get something from this. Let's not leave this here tonight. Y'all stand with me.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.